having to be comfortable in our voice or in video. Go
ahead. And so, without further ado,
is there when I need?
This is the show that gives you the real scoop on what's really going on in the country that you call America. Most people don't have the foggiest idea of what's going down, and what's going down is this country. Tonight, Clyde Lewis is with us again. Thanks, Clyde.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the program. It's good to be back. And tonight's program, very exciting program, because we are continuing where Alex left off last week with Sadie Gregg,
right.
And that is about RFID, electronic monitoring and chipping of this country, which is a lot closer than you realize, especially when we start talking about insurance chips, health care cards, you name it. Since Hurricane Katrina, we have been told that we need all these things for identification purposes because, you know, they were in UCLA, they were already RFIDing dead bodies. They were doing that a while ago. That didn't make the mainstream, but they were chipping the corpses there at when Katrina happened.
Well, we have an expert on RFID with us tonight. With us all the way from Austin, Texas, is Liz McIntyre. Liz McIntyre is the co-author of the book Spy Chips, How Major Corporations and Government Plan to Track Your Every Move with RFID. At one point, this book was number 6 on Amazon in the nonfiction category section. Liz, how are you tonight?
Hi, Alex. How are you?
Great. Thanks for being with us. Tell us a little bit about your website and the work that you do.
Well, sure. Our website is at www.spychips.com. And actually, I'm a member of Caspian. I'm the communications director. And Caspian is an organization that was founded in 1999 to fight invasive surveillance practices, primarily in grocery stores through those grocery store cards. A lot of people don't know those cards collect a lot of data on all of us. At any rate, of course, as times change, technology changes, and RFID crept onto the scene. And so CAP started looking at radio frequency identification, which is what we're going to talk about tonight.
Let's start real small here, though. You mentioned those cards. Most people aren't aware of possible databases where all that information is stored about you. We're talking about like the club card, right? The Albertsons card and things like that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. When you go into those grocery stores and they're telling you, hey, sign up for this great card here because we're going to save you money. Well, that's a marketing gimmick. Mm. They want to know everything about you more than even your mother has a right to know. They want to know everything you buy, everything you put in your shopping cart, everything you take home. They want to know how many people are in your family and so on to see, well, are you buying enough in their store? Are you a profitable consumer? You know, they want to target you with advertising.
Right.
And, of course, studies have shown that you actually pay more on average at stores with the cards than at non-card stores. There have actually been studies documenting that. We have those on our club card site at www.nocards.org.
Mm-hmm.
And so actually you pay more at those stores. because there are these middlemen, and someone has to pay for all that data collection.
Is it true that law enforcement and, in some cases, insurance companies talk with these companies that have the information on what you buy and what you purchase? Because I've heard stories about how, you know, let's say, for example, you have an insurance policy where you have a no-smoking policy, and they can do an investigation to see if you bought cigarettes at a store. Is that true?
Yeah, well, that is true. I mean, they keep track of everything you purchase. And as we know right now, law enforcement can get pretty much anything they want that's in a database, especially, you know, the Patriot Act. My goodness. I mean, if it's in a database, it's pretty much up for grabs, or at least that's what you should assume. And, of course, not only up for grabs by the government, but by anybody who can hack into that database. And the government has supposedly actually used these records. There was a story, I believe it was in Arizona, where the government agents went into a store and got the grocery cart, shopping cart records, because they wanted to find out people who had a high rate of purchases for baggies, because supposedly those are used to bag, I guess, quantities of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, they probably nabbed a few moms baking brownies, too.
Well, and how much Sudafed you buy. I mean, now with this meth epidemic or the worries about meth, I mean, you see now that you can't, it'll be hard for you to purchase it for colds and flu. And with some of the diseases or the so-called H5N1 flu that's on the way, the Model Emergency Health Powers Act, which will be implemented when this goes down, they're going to be monitoring what kind of drugs you purchase with your smart cards, insurance companies and doctors, and they will flag you if they see you purchasing huge amounts of certain drugs as a possible risk for H5N1 flu.
Well, you know, I guess that's possible. I mean, any of those records that can be used for any number of purposes, some that we haven't even thought of, I'm sure. And you know what? This issue is going to become even more critical when we get to RFID, radio frequency identification, because the same things they can do with, say, the cards that you allow the stores to scan, you know, eventually they want all of these kinds of cards to contain RFID tags.
Okay.
Which are remotely readable.
So for the layman, Liz, let's explain a little bit about what RFID is and where it is being used right now.
Well, sure. RFID stands for radio frequency identification, and that's a technology that uses very small microchips. Some are smaller than a grain of sand. You can barely see them. And these are used to track items at a distance. Now, each chip contains a unique identification number, and it uniquely identifies the product to which it's attached. In fact, in the plan they have set up, big companies like Procter & Gamble, Walmart, Gillette, Unilever, Kraft, each item in the world would contain one of these chips with a unique number that would be sort of like a social security number for things. And so, for example, today where we might have a can of Coke here in Texas and you might have a can of Coke there in Oregon, they might have, the same barcode, because it just identifies it as a can of Coke and what the price is.
Right. You know, in fact, if you want to bring up report number 4, you know, just in today, or actually 2 days ago for August 25th, 2005, the RFID Journal of all places now reports that the United States has now set a date for e-passports. We talked about last week how they're going to want your facial ID, your facial recognition for your passports.
Biometrics.
Now, RFID is also a part of that. And it says in this report from the RFID Journal that the U.S. State Department issued its final rules today specifying its plans to issue electronic passports, e-passports, containing RFID tags. The department says it intends to begin its e-passport program in December. Now, Liz, what we're talking about tonight and the things that we discuss on Outside the Box really aren't conspiracy theories. I mean, we're basically talking about what the mainstream is reporting.
Oh, yeah, this is all reality. I mean, it's frightening and it's almost unbelievable, but it's true. And, in fact, in my book, Spy Chips, we have over 20 pages of footnotes to document the industry's own words. I mean, these are people that are making these products. These are companies like IBM and Procter & Gamble, you know, Gillette. These are their own words saying exactly what their plans are. And I'm going to shock you here, because what we have in our book is sworn testimony on public record from the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. We've been doing some fishing over there and found an incredible number of patents. And it's not the gobbledygook you might think about. You know, a lot of patents are hard to understand. I mean, these are patents we found that talk about all these reasons these companies want to have this technology, and many of these talk about tracking people.
There are a lot of people that think this is a really cool thing. This is a good thing. It's not just your average person on the street is being indoctrinated. It's politicians. It's the police. It's celebrities. What are they planning to do with all this information? Where is it going?
Okay, well, that's a good question. Well, first of all, a lot of people say, well, gosh, you know, what if everything has this microchip like they plan? And, you know, they every item has this unique ID number.
Mm-hmm.
And they take this stuff and they capture it. Well, what will they do with that? I mean, that's a lot of information. But you have to understand that technology has advanced and that storage is pretty cheap. And let me give you a statistic here. Already, according to one report, I believe it was the New York Times reported that Walmart already has twice as much data as the entire Internet stored in its databases. Now, you have to think of this as, you know, like you have a set of dictionaries, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
You have a set of dictionaries. I mean, you're not going to read every single thing in there. Well, some people might, but
right.
You probably wouldn't. You want that there so you can go and get what you need, right? Because you have a way to retrieve that information. Well, the same thing with information that you might glean from, say, eventually RFID tags. You'd have all the information there, and then you'd have actually an even better way to get at the information through computer programs, data mining programs, that can go in and find relationships and get information. And it's going to be really troublesome because once these products contain these microchips, by the way, which are remotely readable because they transmit information by radio waves, which can travel through solid objects like your purse, your backpack, your wallet, your clothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could actually associate those unique numbers with you when you check out at a store and present some form of identifiable payment like a credit card, a check, or one of those supermarket loyalty cards. And any time that number then would be seen in the future at some location, that number could be associated back to you, the purchaser. And that becomes problematic more so with things like shoes that you don't trade with people very often, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you've purchased a pair of shoes, in all likelihood, you're going to wear those shoes pretty regularly,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, most of us would. And you probably aren't going to be trading those with people.
You know, it was Plato that said, "Strange times are these in which we live when old and young are taught falsehoods in school. And the person that dares to tell the truth is called at once a lunatic and a fool." And what that means to me in this particular situation is we're living in a time where my heart really goes out to the young people of America right now and the world because they're being indoctrinated on so many different levels. And we talked about them last week, whether it be Hollywood or me and Clyde are going to do a show about PSYOP movies fairly soon, on all the different ways they get us used to the technological advances of the machine, the beast, whatever you call it, controlling us. And I find that really sad because I don't view that as human or spiritual evolution. I see it as a step down. And, you know, you're talking right now about these databases, about all these forms of control. What I don't see is where they're being kept in check on what they're doing with that information and how far it is advancing. That bothers me.
Don't they have information? Not only are they mining information that they feel is important, but they're mining information that is mundane. Like I read somewhere, maybe it was on your website, the day in the life of a sweater. The sweater gets bought at a supermarket. I mean, gets bought at a department store, and the RFID tag is still on the sweater. And what they do is they monitor how you wash it, how you care for it, where you've worn it, how it's worn, what you've done to care for it, and they just take all this information and they have it attributed to your credit card. So if you're a type of person that wears your shoes inward, or if you're a type of person that doesn't take care of your sweater the way you should, they will alert people to this. They'll say, well, this is the type of thing that they do to the sweater, so we have to make a product. Is this what happens with these things too?
Well, any of the information that could be gleaned from a chip, which is pretty much unlimited because it is just a number. They try to make a point of, oh, it's just a number. But think about it. That number, just like a social security number, can link to an unlimited amount of information. And it's really just, you know, whatever people decide they're going to log in about a particular item. So they could put down some very peculiar details about, you know, the way they observe these items in stores and outside of stores.
Liz, I want you to shock me right now. we just got done establishing that they have these databases, and that, you know, most people are aware that, you know, they have used them in Gillette. We've talked about it a lot on this program. So has Clyde. So have you. We've looked at Walmart and how they're putting them on the outside of the boxes of all these electronic equipment. We have some graphics as well. Even clothing as well is being tagged. What I wonder is, what happens to that information once it leaves the store with the consumer?
Okay, well, Alex, that's a very good question, and I am going to shock you, I think.
Okay.
You know, right now, first of all, let me just preface this by saying we have pretty much held the line on RFID. A lot of big companies are concerned about a backlash, as they should be, because consumers do not like this technology. Time and time again, studies have shown that 3/4 of people just hate it when they realize what it really does and what it is. So they really haven't done a lot of this yet. But the vision of big companies like Walmart, Procter & Gamble, Gillette, Unilever, Kraft, you go on and on, the U.S. Postal Service, big companies around the world, is to actually have these reader devices, these scanners that can read these RFID tags on items pretty much everywhere. And there's a really scandalous patent application that we came across, and it's by IBM. And, of course, you all know IBM, right? It used to stand for I've Been Moved, if you recall, because they used to move their people a lot. But now IBM stands for I've Been Monitored.
Mm.
They have a patent they've filed for called Identification and Tracking of Persons Using RFID Tagged Items.
Okay.
That's pretty shocking. I mean, but let me tell you what they want to do. In addition to using these tags, you know, that they have, you know, registered the numbers in the database so that when they see them again, you know, they know what they are. In addition to calling up those numbers and, say, delivering targeted advertising to people based on the things they're wearing and carrying, they also suggest the government could use these numbers. And what they say is that you could actually track people of interest in public places through an invention they call the person tracking unit. They actually call it the person tracking unit.
Wait a minute. Now,
yes.
I know technology is very sophisticated, but we're not even talking about Verichip yet. We're going to get into that. We haven't even got there yet. You're just talking about them being able to identify a chip that's on some clothing or whatnot and trace that basically by GPS?
Well, no. Actually,
okay.
Actually, what it is, these chips, they communicate by radio waves, and they have varying...
So they have readers. Ranges. They have readers set up.
Correct. Now, let me tell you where these readers could be. They can be in doorways. They can be in shelves. They can be in floors. They can be in carpeting. They can be on rubber mats you step on.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be very well hidden because, just like the chips, they communicate everything through these radio waves. And they can go right through wood. They can go through walls. They can go through glass.
Wow. Oh, even concrete. You know, when I was in Texas, I was taken on kind of a dark ride one evening. I was shown, I was staying up in... I forget the town, Springfield or something up there in Texas, where they showed me where all these toll bridges and toll roads were being built.
Right.
And they were showing me where that they had these squares that were cut out where you go off the off-ramp. And they told me that that's where they set up the RFID readers. And you could see all these toll bridges that were set up. And what you were saying earlier is important about the cards.
Right.
You go ahead and get a card, and you can save the money on the ice cream or the pizza or whatever it is you're buying.
Uh-huh.
If you don't get the card, it costs you more. It's the same thing with these transponders. You conform and you get the transponder in your car or the RFID card or the Safeway Club card. It's cheaper. And even Alex Jones documented that even at SeaWorld, if you, like, say, for example, thumb scan, a form of biometric identification, you get in cheaper. So... I know I threw a lot at you, but I mean, I'm seeing a big correlation of things getting really cheaper if you accept the technology and this whole new wave of transponders in our cars with RFID.
Well, it's not just cheaper, Alex. What they're doing is they're going to be using your own paranoia to convince you to use RFID tags and to use chips. In fact, there's a new program that's coming out right now that Verichip is introducing called the Hugs and Kisses Program. Now, what the Hugs and Kisses Program is an Orwellian term meaning putting a RFID ankle bracelet on your child after it's born so that it will not be abducted or otherwise stolen. They're saying that that happens all the time in facilities. Babies are being ripped off now and being sold on the black market.
Well, Clive, that's, you know, that's true. They're telling people that. But, you know, it's interesting. I did some research and found that actually the incidence of kidnappings from hospitals is extremely low.
I know. And
it was, 100 abductions in the past 22 years. Come on.
And, you know, it's funny because there was a recent high-profile one in which a Florida couple, I believe it was, or was it, I can't remember where, but it was in the news not too long ago, where supposedly this baby was kidnapped and was saved by this hugs and kisses system, you know.
Mm.
They retrieved this baby. Well, you know who actually took the baby out? The baby's own parents.
Well, and a hugs and kisses system is not going to work, and I don't want to be morbid or graphic, but it's not going to work if you cut the baby's foot off.
Oh, that's pretty gross.
I know, but people are sick and twisted, and I'm sorry, but you have to be graphic with people and tell them that, you know, cameras on you are not going to prevent crimes,
right,
and bracelets on babies are not going to prevent infant deaths or murders. It's
right.
not going to do it in abduction cases. I mean,
yeah.
you know, it's not going to prevent anything. It's just one more excuse for them to track you and number you.
Right. Well, listen, you know, I want to get back to gross. Remind me gross, because I have a really gross story to tell you, okay?
Okay, gross. Okay.
I'm going to tell you gross later, but before we get to that really the highlight of the evening,
okay.
I want to share one more thing about this IBM patent, because it really does talk about all the things that we're talking about. Because I really want to tell you what they talk about here about this patent application. By the way, a sworn public document. When you file for a patent, you have to swear it works, okay? And that the information is true, and there's a penalty, a legal penalty if you don't. I mean, I think you can even serve jail time for falsifying the document. But this is an IBM thing, and they say the government could use these unique numbers to track people. Let me tell you where they want to track them, okay? Through this person tracking unit. They actually say in here, and they can be used in locations having roaming areas such as shopping malls, airports, train stations, bus stations, elevators, trains, airplanes, sports arenas, libraries, theaters, museums, and even restrooms.
Jeez.
Unbelievable, huh?
Yeah, they'll be able to monitor you even when you're in your private moments in your restroom.
Yeah, and maybe even in your home, too, because we found some for that, too.
Right.
Last week, we had a very special special young lady sing a song for us. And we're going to go ahead and go to that break here in just a second. So when we get back, Liz, let's get it a little bit into some of that other information that you want to tell us about and describe to our audience what the long-term possible plans are for the VeriChip.
All right.
All right. Stay tuned. There's a lot more coming your way right here on Outside the Box. Now, what really scares everybody is this thing called VeriChip. It was October 2004 that the FDA approved the legality for the VeriChip to begin to chip people, although they have been doing it longer than that. And it's been around for longer than a decade. And so-called conspiracy theorists have been talking about it for up to 15 to 20 years. Liz, what are your comments on the VeriChip?
Yikes, that's a pretty scary topic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, of course, the VeriChip is an RFID device.
Mm-hmm.
It's glass encapsulated. It's about the diameter of a dime. and it's actually inserted typically into the upper arm, okay, between the triceps muscle. And it's got a pretty big injector device that actually puts it in there. We actually have pictures in the book. In fact, we have pictures of lots of RFID type things in spy chips. But
they can also go in the hand, can't they?
It's possible, but I will tell you that probably in the hand.
We're looking right now at a picture of someone that is bragging about how they had a chip put in their hand.
They could, but you know, probably more easily broken in your hand.
Yeah.
You know, these things could be damaged. I wouldn't want
anywhere. But there's actually a list of all the side effects possibly associated with getting an implant, according to the FDA. What were some of those?
Well, they break. And your body can reject them. And they're not. They're just cumbersome, and they're intrusive. I mean, this is an intrusive type of operation to get this put in you, and you're doing this for safety. You're going to run the risk of having these things rejected and somehow malfunction too.
Well,
that's another
problem.
A
lot of people, Liz, aren't even aware of what this is. Let alone microchips. We're talking RFID here. Most people don't even know about that. But you know what I've noticed, Liz, is the whole terrorism card is old hat. I mean, we're really dealing with a whole brave new world of people accepting this, wanting this, begging for this because of convenience. Why carry cash with you around? Why have a credit card? Just get yourself a chip and walk through the reader. In fact, you don't even have to go through a cash register.
No.
You grab what you want and you walk out. I actually saw a commercial that they made in Europe to sell this. I believe it was done by the AIM Corporation, where someone had grabbed something, tried to shoplift. Went through the readers, and security grabbed him and said, "Sir, you forgot your receipt."
Yeah, actually, that commercial ran here a few times, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, very provocative, and it just kind of shows you exactly how this technology works.
Was I correct or incorrect? Was that AIM or was that IBM?
Actually, it was, I think it could have been IBM,
okay.
But I'm not sure. AIM,
well,
Global, AIM Global is actually more of an industry group that sets standards. They typically aren't that forward.
Mm-hmm.
IBM did a commercial as well where they were showing a kid using his computer with biometrics, and they were saying, how does this work? Well, we have a special apparatus that can be on your hand, or a special apparatus that's, you know, in your body where it only reads what you tell it to read. So
right.
It gives you that privilege.
Right. Well, and of course, there's the recent IBM ad. I believe it ran during a big game
Super Bowl.
Recently. Super Bowl. Probably.
Now, look, Verichip is just one part of it, though. There are also other ways to use chips, and not all of them are owned by Verichip. We came across some disturbing information that we need to share right now that kind of ties in with the idea of chipping, maybe not so much as RFID. But if you were to bring up article number two, MSNBC just reported 2 days ago that a remote control that controls humans is going to be kind of the new thing. Headset sends electricity through head, forcing wearer to move. And this experiment was done in Japan. It says, we weld remote controls to turn things on and off, make them advance, then make them halt. Ground-bound pilots use remotes to fly drone airplanes, soldiers to maneuver battlefield robots. But manipulating humans, prepared to be controlled, I was. All right, and if we move on to article number three.
Well, what they do,
let me just say
about this. What they're going to do with this remote control system that they're working on is they will put little microbe-type things in your ears because your ears control balance. And what they're going to do is they're going to get to the children, the video game market is going to be pushing this idea, because what's going to happen is you put these little things in your ears, and then when you get in a video game, the video game will give you that feeling of curvature when you're turning, so you'll feel this way, and
right.
Every time you turn, your body will go that way too, and it'll give you a virtual reality sensation. But they're also looking at it for crowd control, and they'll be able to take a remote control, and if you have one in your ear, they require you to have it in your ear, and require you to have it in a chip form, you'll move when they move you with the remote control. They're already experimenting on this with the chips in the brains of the soldiers, which is something that we have this article number three, if you could bring that up. Chips inserted in soldiers' brains. Boffins working for the U.S. military are experimenting with creating super soldiers by sticking microchips in their brains. Now, what's going to happen with that is they'll be able to simulate battle sequences in their brains, so they don't have to leave a classroom, and they will move, and they'll contort, They'll have all that happen with that right there in the classroom. It'll almost be like the Matrix. They'll have the chip in and they'll be able to experience it. They'll
terrifying.
Yeah. They'll be able to learn Kung Fu and be able to shoot people and everything else right there in this in this virtual reality system.
Oh, man.
Can I one-up you?
Sure, go ahead. One-up me. One-up me.
All right. Well, in our book, Spy Chips, we actually have found some other similar embedded devices using radio frequency identification. And one of those is a patent-pending method and apparatus for locating and tracking persons. And you were talking about the VeriChip being inserted, you know, it's just in your upper arm. Well, they're talking about how that can be so easily removed. I mean, a runaway could take it out of her arm. And, of course, there are gangs in Mexico called Los Chips that are known to take knives and remove things like that forcibly. Well, they want to put them deep in your body, in your head. We've seen in our book, we show a picture of a patent document showing them places in the female body, in, you know, your internal organs, mm-hmm. where you can actually put one of these things permanently where it can't be removed. And they come with accessories. One accessory would be a microphone that could broadcast your conversations remotely. And they also have an electroshock feature that's sort of like a cattle prod, so that if you step over the line in the wrong place, whatever, they can electroshock you.
I heard that report. Do you know where I heard it?
Where?
I heard it on 60 Minutes and NBC with Brokaw.
Did you really?
They were talking. It was after 9/11.
Uh-huh.
This is documented in something we played last week in 9/11: The Road to Tyranny by Alex Jones. There is a section. Have you seen that film?
No, I haven't.
Okay, there's a section that talks about the biometric police state control grid that's being set up around us at the end. And he discussed all these different areas of control of identification. And there were some people on these national mainstream programs where they're talking about implantable chips in prisoners. So they'll be shocked if they have the wrong thoughts. And I came across a lot of thought crime articles just a few years ago. It's like, the stuff you're telling me, it's not new, like breaking news. Some of the stuff you're referring to is 2002, 2001.
Well, it is actually this particular one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, I have a filing date on that one. It was actually filed in 2004, so it's relatively new.
But they've been talking about it for longer than that.
Well, they've been talking about a lot of sinister things. The thing that's different here is they're actually using radio frequency identification, and they're talking about it mainstream. And these are in the words of the people, the businesses, the companies themselves. And they're talking about using these things in the patent documentation. I mean, actually putting them not only in prisoners, they're talking about putting them in employees on corporate campuses. Can you imagine working for, say, a company like IBM?
All right,
knowing that you're going to get shocked if you say you don't meet your sales quota or something.
Well,
unbelievable stuff.
I would say, for the most part, we've covered a lot of information tonight about what RFID is, what the VeriChip is, and how they are tracking or tracing our every move through multiple forms of ID, along with the last show with Sadie Gregg last week. So we've established that fairly well. Now comes the hard part. Why are you against this, really? And also, why do you think that, say, the left media and the so-called conservative right media is not really looking at this? I mean, face it. This is not front page news. It's there, but then again, it's not. The war in Iraq is more important. What's happening with your local school is more important. These are important issues, yes, but the sports figures and what happened with the Blazers or the Knicks is basically what's ingrained in the average American's mind, as opposed to the facts going on with this.
Well, you'd be surprised, actually. A lot of people are very concerned about this technology.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, if you know our book, Spy Chips, How Major Corporations and Government Plan to Track Your Every Move with RFID, 2 days before it actually was released, it was a bestseller on Amazon. It's been one of the top-selling books. We were already in our fourth printing.
Right.
And so a lot of people are reading it. We've actually gotten quite a few great reviews. You may have seen the Electronic Privacy Information Center. The head of that organization, who's also an adjunct professor of law at Georgetown University, called it, you know, he gave it a resounding review. We've actually had our information published in many mainstream newspapers.
And that's fantastic. I am really impressed with that, by the way. I mean, I almost, when I saw that, those reviews for your book,
right.
And I saw the numbers that it was getting on Amazon, it was like, you know, I'm not saying it gave me hope, but because I'm not labeling myself left, right, or pessimist, optimist, but what I'm seeing is, in the conversations I'm having with everyday people, most people that I've come in contact with are not aware of what I'm talking about, And in their minds, these are still things out of a Mel Gibson movie called Conspiracy
Theory.
And we crack that shell of the average person, and then at least get them to contemplate most of these things.
Alex, you know, the book, one thing about the book is it's very accessible. When you read it, you'll find out that that it's actually got some really, it's really a page-turner, and some people have called it almost a techno-thriller, except that it's true. It's actually written in a way that's really interesting, and people would buy it just because they just want to read it because it's so interesting, not just because they want the information. And so we think getting this into a lot of hands, which we obviously are, we're already in our fourth printing, but people are going to learn about this. It's getting a lot of media attention, and so perhaps people will find out not only what the industry wants, but also the downsides.
Coast to Coast is great for that, isn't it?
We were on Coast to Coast for 3 hours.
Were you on Alex Jones at all, by the way, either?
I've talked to Alex a few times, but Catherine actually has actually done most of the.
Well, we're going to have Catherine on here soon, so let her know she needs to come on, and I'll get a hold of the publicist as well.
One of the things that needs to be pointed out is that we have never had the reason, or we do not have the need for this type of technology to be used against us. And what we need to understand is that they are creating the need. They are creating the crisis, and so the solution can be made. And this is their solution. And for what purpose? I mean, they didn't need it before, but they need it now for some reason. And we need to understand what that reason is. And as I've said many times before, the reason why I think this happens...
Right there, that's where it goes, the trifecta.
Right.
The reason why is because they want to keep us starved, okay? They want to keep us starved, and the way to do so is they can control the increase, and they control the decrease. And if you cannot get increase without their watchful eye, if you can't make ends meet, they're going to keep you on that brink of starvation. And that is how they give you the chip. That is what they call, in some people's minds, it is the beast system. It's the system of the beast, or the great 666, if you will. And that is exactly what's happening here. It's because they want to keep you on the brink of starvation. That's the bottom line.
Well, that's possible. In fact, there are a lot of Christians who look at this technology, and they realize that for the first time in history, the predictions, made by John in the book of Revelations could actually come true. It is a way to control the marketplace, and of course, there they talk about taking a mark so that you can't buy or sell unless you have this mark.
For those Christians listening and watching the program that don't read the Bible, do you have the passage prepared?
Actually, I do. Let me get that for you here. The passage is actually from Revelation 13:16 through 18, and it says, and this is one translation, "And the beast of the earth causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." And, some people say, wow, they've been looking for this for, 2,000 years? I don't know if you know this, but Isaac Newton, the guy who discovered gravity, actually wrote over 1 million words trying to figure out what this whole book meant and what could possibly, what this could possibly mean. And I have a feeling that if he were living today, he'd be looking at that going and looking at RFID and saying,
Have you ever stopped and wondered why our president, who allegedly talks to God and claims to be a born-again Christian, has not come out and spoke against this beast system? If he's such a Christian, then he is a hypocrite. And he's a hypocrite who wants you to accept this and will demand and have you begging for it. Well, that's the evil part of this whole thing, is if it is the very system that John talked about in the Bible, and we have a born-again Christian sitting up there at the White House, he's not a born-again Christian. He's a liar. What do you think of that?
Are you asking me? Are you asking Alex?
I'm asking you, Liz.
Well, no comment.
Well, Liz,
I think you had your own on that one.
We actually have to wrap it up because we have to go to another clip. But I want to ask you before you go, along with your closing statements, what kind of information do you have that you've researched, that you've read about, with active members of government working with Verichip? Other than, well, for one thing, the one I am aware of is Tommy Thompson.
Right.
And brief us on that particular story.
Oh, well, sure.
Okay.
Well, Tommy Thompson, you want to do this now or do you have to go to break?
We can go ahead and do that. and let you go, then we can go to break and come back, because we'll have to take some phone calls. We only have one line. So.
Oh, well, sure, sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Tommy Thompson, former Secretary of Health and Human Services in the Bush administration, retired from his post, and he got a cushy job about 6 months later with the Verichip company. Now, he's on their board, and not very long after joining, he was on CBS Market Watch, and he's talking about how great these chips are and how every American should think about getting one. And he's also talking about replacing military dog tags with these embedded RFID chips. So that's pretty scary. A company that's going after someone with obvious Washington connections, I mean, all of us have got to be pretty worried about that development.
Well, what do you think George Bush's position is on Verichip, or if he has one?
I haven't heard a position from him. It would be interesting to know that. But I know we're going to have to go here. I just wanted to mention again the book. I encourage everybody to get a copy of this. If you want to know what's going on in the world of microchips and RFID, spy chips, how major corporations and government plan to track your every move with RFID, is available in all your major bookstores for those of you who are privacy-loving and pay with cash. Your local small bookstores, please support them. And, of course, it's available. I think you can get it now. It's back in print. It's at Amazon.com. And I believe they have it for, believe it or not, at a big discount right now. I think it's like over 30% off.
Great. We can go ahead and tell them spychips.com. Well, what are your other websites? Let's see. NoCards.org is one of them.
Correct.
And there's a few others as well.
Right. We have a boycott against Tesco at www.boycotttesco.com. That's a UK store where they've done some things with RFID that aren't very good. Mm-hmm. We have a boycott against Gillette because they're big supporters of the technology at www.boycottgillette.com. The main site, though, is www.spychips.com, and there you can learn more about RFID, and there's also a link to purchase the book.
One last question, Liz. What is your end goal?
With
what you do at Spy Chips, is it to stop this or just bring about awareness to what is coming?
Well, awareness obviously is the first step. But one thing what was really important to us was to come up with a solution for people, and we really believe we do have a solution, and that's the free marketplace. We don't want to ban the technology. We really don't. We think it should be out there, and as long as people keep it in their warehouses, we don't care too much. But once it gets on products and they can, those products can be used to track us, that's where we have a problem. The only thing we've called for is labeling legislation. We just want people to know that when they buy something, if it contains a tracking device, they should know that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're buying a shoe, you should be buying a shoe.
Well, that's
is
that bill going to pass? I believe you've started a bill so that every consumer will know if their product has RFID involved in their product.
Yeah, we have model legislation called the RFID Right to Know Act, and several states have contemplated it, but it's interesting. Every single time it comes up, and all we're asking for is a label saying, hey, this contains an RFID tag.
Hey.
The industry comes in with their lobbyists and quashes it because I think they know that if people realize the products that they're purchasing contain these spy chips, they're going to opt for other products without them, and they might even say not shop at stores that are supporting the technology.
Well, that's really interesting because their mantra to us is, if you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to fear. But I would take that and throw that back in their face. Liz,
yes.
I want to thank you for being on Outside the Box. I really appreciate it. And I advise everyone to seek out, for more information, spychips.com to find out how you can get her book.
All right. Well, thank you, Alex, Clive. Nice talking to you.
Thank you, Liz.
Too.
We'll
you
be in touch.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
At this time, we're going to go to a clip from the Manchurian Candidate, which came out last year or the year before, which is a great depiction of, well, Clyde, you go ahead and tell him.
Well, it's a great depiction of how you can implement the idea of, we were talking about these chips for the soldiers, putting them in their heads, actually giving you a chip, and eventually, I mean, we're talking about the slippery slope here, basically. The idea that they put in a chip, it's just for tracking, then the chip goes in for more than just tracking, perhaps subduing and sending electricity through you, or even sending extremely low frequencies into your brain to get you to carry out what they want you to do. And here is that clip from the Manchurian Candidate right here.
Raymond? What? No, wait.
Hang on a second.
What? Raymond? Are you there?
Yes.
Sergeant Shaw?
Who is this?
Sergeant Raymond Shaw?
Yes.
Raymond Prentice Shaw?
Yes.
Listen. Go to the bedroom of your suite. Enter the hallway there. Go to the end and open the closet. Hello, Raymond.
Hello.
Do you remember me?
No, sir, I don't.
Brilliant. We've got 20 minutes for a little check-up from the neck up, gentlemen, so if we could take his jacket, please sit down.
You'll feel a little cold as this anesthetic gel goes on. Probe sheath and probe. Please relax. Are you relaxed, Raymond?
Yes, sir.
Now, Raymond, I'm going to drill a tiny hole in the skull, which will allow delivery of the new implant. So what you'll feel is a little discomfort in the form of pressure and also a loud vibrating noise in your head, all of which, of course, is completely normal. Of course, as soon as this or any task is completed, you will already have forgotten that it ever actually took place. Probe going in now. As good. Excellent. Releasing implant. There, that wasn't so bad, was it, Raymond?
No, sir.
It's good. No decay, no slippage. Everything seems to be in flawless working condition.
Do you want your own dog tag? The reports in the paper say no more dog tags for soldiers. They can just give them a chip. Perhaps that you don't like taking your Ritalin every day and your Paxil. Perhaps you would like a chip to give you that little oomph you're lacking every day. Something your coffee and nicotine isn't giving you. Have a chip. It'll improve your mood. It'll improve your sexual function. No more Viagra. No more pill side effects. Just take a chip. It'll fix everything. Well, if that's what you really want, give me a call and tell me why. Numbers to call tonight, 503-288-4442 or 503-288-4448.
I think for the first time in history, we are looking at a time where the ACLU and the Christian Coalition can agree on something, and that is that they don't want to be chipped. They don't want to be numbered. They don't want to be marked. With that mark of the beast they're talking about. They don't want to be divided and numbered and stamped. You know, a lot of people, though, will beg for this. And they will because they will create a crisis. And you cannot be fooled by the crisis.
And this is a perfect example. Don, if you would, please go back and bring up report number one. You see, these chips, these forms of control technology, have been around for quite some time. And this particular article, number one, headline reads from the Washington Post. Wrong one, article number one. Monkeys control robot arm with brain implants. Scientists in North Carolina have built a brain implant that lets monkeys control a robotic arm with their thoughts, making the first time that mental intentions have been harnessed to move a mechanical object. It's not that I or Clyde is saying technology is completely wrong. We had this discussion a few weeks ago.
They can use it to enhance balance for crying
right.
out loud.
I mean, it's the uses for it. It's who's in control of it.
Right.
And with that, We will go to our first call of the evening. Caller, you're on Outside the Box.
Hello.
Hey. Hi.
Yes, I was wondering, how do I get a copy of the past shows? I actually missed the last two shows. And do you have a video library online, or please comment.
Well, I haven't asked every week because my ego won't allow me to. But I am a full-time student now, and I work. So it has become a challenge to do the show every week. I am asking anyone that can take my DVDs and upload to the internet to do so. I have all my DVDs ready to go. So if anyone would like to help me out and upload that and just tell me where the link is, I will be happy to provide the DVD. At this time, though, I don't have the time to do all of that. So that is basically the option that I'm shooting for because I'm having requests from out of state to see Outside the Box at this point.
We are right now, probably after the winter of 2005, going to be seeing these things implemented because we have so many scares waiting in the wings. Once Halloween's over with, you know, little people with sheets and spook alleys are not going to be the thing to scare you anymore. They're going to have flu to scare you. They're going to have all these other problems. They're going to be, you know, they're going to tell you, get a chip. If you have a chip, it'll have your health codes. You won't have to worry. You can use it for other things, health identification, your children being abducted. I mean, we're hearing stories already. I've been monitoring stories already about child kidnappings, throwing them into the San Francisco Bay. I mean, all these things are here to play on your fears and your demands. And I know, and I've talked with the VeriChip people, they're getting ready to set up kiosks, like cell phone kiosks at major malls, mm-hmm. to get you involved. Also, your cell phones are going to have chips in them so they can track you as well. We need to be tracked, right?
Right.
That's what they want you to do. I think we have another call. Do you want
yeah.
to do that?
Next caller.
Hello.
Hello.
You know, when you have something about the size of a grain of rice, you mm-hmm. put it in clothing and all that, some people you're never going to convince. They're going to do what they're going to do with the chips. But when you do something like that with the clothing, the one thing that corporations cannot stand, they're not afraid of anything except one thing, the almighty dollar. You vote with your dollar. You don't buy the product. The corporation itself will not do. And as far as Bush's opinion, Bush doesn't have an opinion yet because Cheney hasn't told him what it is.
And soon Cheney won't be telling him what it is.
And the next time people no longer call me a conspiracy theorist, and the reason why is because I look them right in the eye now and I tell them, you know, it's very funny that that judicial system has been putting people in prison for criminal conspiracy,
right.
underlying the word, for years. Thanks a lot.
Hey,
thank you.
Yeah. Okay, what was
thank
his
you.
Name, Larry?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry. Thanks, Larry. Larry calls a lot. You know, it's funny what he just said about the word conspiracy. Mm-hmm. They can't arrest someone and violate their Fifth Amendment constitutional rights and say they're in contempt of conspiracy to withhold information in this judicial court of law, which for the most part is not really designed at this point to protect you but to enslave you. So they can recognize that a conspiracy exists if you don't want to succumb or submit to the government, this is common knowledge now, or go along with what they want and their corporate interests. But on the other hand, if you turn the tables, they say conspiracies don't exist. Not unless it's in the context of referring to the little guy, the citizen.
The conspiracy is being planned now to turn the whole country into a major prison. If you've got a chip in you, you can't move without the controllers telling you it's okay. The wardens are going
to
be controlling you.
Oh, the phones are lit up. We'll have to go to the calls pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And how are you?
Hi.
Hi.
Listen, I have a question, but before that, I wanted to give you information about for those that do not take the chip. I know somebody that was a military personnel that has personally witnessed the shipping in of the guillotines. Do you know about that in Revelation?
We talked about that, I think, 3 weeks ago. So
okay.
We said that they were shipping those in.
We did about a series of three or four shows on FEMA and what FEMA really is.
Okay. And the question that I have is, I was at the hospital on the Hill when they began research on the chip, and as far as I knew, the gentleman that started it was a father who is now retired down in Florida, but he invented the Avid chip. Was he the first person?
Are you referring to Dr. Carl Sanders?
Yes.
Dr. Carl Sanders claims that he was at one of these One Worlder meetings
uh-huh.
back in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Carl Sanders claims that in these meetings, it was suggested that a good way to get the population behind a microchip
would be to place young children on the side of milk cartons and using abductions as the pretext to get the population behind a microchipped society. There are also documents from the Army War College of 1996 that refer to a hive mind population to where everyone would be controlled by this grid system put in place by 2025. If you Google 2025 and Army War College, you will find the government document on their website.
Okay. And the other the last question I have is, do you hold meetings to where people can come and learn about this?
I do a town meeting called Ground Zero Lounge at Dante's every Monday night at about 8 o'clock. We want people in there early. This week, we're not going to be talking about any of this. It's Halloween, so we have a lot of fun with the paranormal, but we do get into a lot of subjects such
as
this and talk about them as well.
I will say that we do need an additional point of meeting because that's mostly Clyde's platform, and this is my platform. This is my soapbox for as long as we have it. But we need more groups where people get together, a democratic group where they talk about issues going on, like the 9/11 discussion group. They do their thing, but they're limited in part where that's all they talk about. And I had to distance myself from that group for different reasons. But we needed like an overall group, not a tinfoil conspiracy group, but a group of different alternative media representatives that talk about what exactly is going on with what investigations that they are coming up
well,
with.
Well, we could open up that. I mean, and you're welcome, Alex. You come out to Ground Zero Lounge. You're open to be a part of this. If anybody else has any opinion that they want to bring to the table, I'm more than willing to open it up for that because, I mean, I'm not up there to hear my own self speak. I want to have people have that interaction, and that's exactly what the whole purpose is.
Thank you for your call. And we'll go to the next one. How are you?
Well, I'm all right, but I just wanted to let you know that you're behind on the tip.
What do you mean?
Well, because there's a hospital, a very famous hospital here in Portland, in northeast Portland.
Uh-huh.
And I was a patient in there. I had emergency surgery.
Ma'am, we only have about 40 seconds left. You have to tell us
so that. So they come in, the nurse did, against my will, and put something in my neck, and it burnt like acid. After I got out of there, this was moving, and it was going down my neck towards my chest. I went back, and I insisted they remove this. It was a chip.
Wow.
Wow.
That's scary.
Look, we're going to have to let you go because we're dealing with calls for the evening. But if you put up my email is alex_ansri@hotmail.com. You know, I'd like to thank a lot of people for the emails that I've been getting. Kyle and Nicole has sent me a lot of great links. So has Larry. So has Pete. So has John, who posts on my blog, alexansri.blogspot.com. And actually, I have a poll at the very end of that that states a question to you. Where do you see our future? Do you care? Are you baffled? Do you see total destruction? Or do you see a beautiful world? I urge you to go to alexansri.blogspot.com, click on the links, double check my documentation that goes to the mainstream, not to InfoWars, not to other conspiracy sites, even though I recommend you do go to those sites. But remember, there is a war for our soul. There is a war for our opinions. They're concerned about what we think every single day, and they talk down to us. We need to be concerned about what they think and what they believe. Until next time, I'm Alex Ansari, reminding you, there's a war for your mind. See you next week. Thanks, Clyde.
You bet. Thank you.